It's 7:04. Time to get your car washed at Seven Flags Sunrise Express Car Wash in Citrus Heights, where you get unlimited car washes for just $19.99 a month.
Scott Howard Cooper at 8:05. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. The question that was set up for you guys is, what? How do you define a super team? All right, and then we'll dovetail off of that, and how do you stop a super team? Can you stop a super team? Super team! Whoa, the Warriors! For those of you over 35, the Voltron of the NBA. They just formed all kinds of parts into one big NBA Voltron and won themselves a title. But apparently the question of the day has now turned into, and I blame myself for doing this.
Because you're a moron.
I am an absolute idiot. Has now turned into...
Dave has a bee in his bonnet. Who would?
Well, because I thought this would be something easy and we move on. Like, oh yeah, of course.
Nothing's ever easy with you.
Who would win a one-on-one, let's say 1-on-1 to 11, half court. Let's just get specific. Michael Jordan versus Lonzo Ball today. Today. Michael versus Lonzo on Wednesday, June whatever the hell it is, 14th. Who would win a one-on-one contest? That'd be easy. Jordan's, what is Jordan, 54?
I don't know.
Yeah, is he 54?
I don't know.
Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
Is it Jeffrey?
It is Jeffrey. That is his middle name.
Stuff you know.
He is 54 years old.
54.
Okay. So who would win? I put this out on the Twitter account. Oh, boy. Isolate that. And... I've learned that 64% of the people that are answering this are clinically stupid and should not be operating heavy machinery. 117 votes in over the last 5 minutes. 64% say Michael Jordan. I mean,
that's what's up.
You know what? I'd love to put $100,000 in these people's hands and see which way they'd bet then.
Can explain why Jordan would have a fair chance of winning.
Yeah, please explain.
Okay, so I have, before I became a truck driver, I'm the guy that listens to on my way home from Livermore every day.
Thank you, buddy.
When I was unloading trucks,
yes,
at FedEx grounds, when me and my wife were unloading trucks, there was a 58-year-old man there named Ron, who was a functioning alcoholic. This guy's sweat smelled like it would be 50 proof if you ran out his shirt and put it in a cup. This guy, Ron, could unload a truck, a semi-truck, a 53-foot truck full of packages faster than teenagers. It used to be a game. I myself personally could not keep up with Ron. This dude's 58 years old and hammering it out. And throughout the course of all the jobs I've had, I have worked with some older men that can do some amazingly, they're not old. They're not the people you see at Walmart sitting in a chair all day grooming people as they come in the door.
Michael, so what you're saying right now is that Dave is an ageist, right?
Well, yeah, because Jordan has enough money. He probably works out. I haven't seen him in an Hanes commercial in a while. But I'm pretty sure he stays fit. I think he maybe could have a shot to win. I'm not saying... hands down, I bet $100,000 on it. But I'm saying I've seen people at 58 that I would bet would win that game.
This is the stupidest thing ever. All right, Michael, your point is taken. But let me pull the veil off and let's function in reality for a second. Now, in your comparison, we're talking old man strength. I'll go a step further. My father is 74. He could still swing an axe and chop wood all day long. I'd be crying halfway through. Now, I'm a marshmallow of a human being. I'm probably not the best example, but there is old man strength, and I respect it. I respect it. But we're not talking about – who is it, Ron? Ron, the 58-year-old man you're talking about? Now, if FedEx had a draft every year for the best package unloaders and – they all unloaded packages in college, and the second best prospect in the world at unloading packages was going up against Ron. I'll even concede the fact that maybe Ron could stay with him. But let's call unloading packages, let's call that backing a guy down one-on-one. Let's cross that over. we're also talking about cardio. We're talking about outside shooting. We're talking about quickness. We're talking about, to use your metaphor, the whole package. And in this case...
Well, yeah, no, he has youth, and he has more stamina. He's going to have more energy. In a long, drawn-out game, no, Jordan's going to get tired sooner. I'm just saying Jordan would have a chance.
Okay.
It's not a hands-down he will win.
Sure.
I agree with Katie, and I'm not trying to make you mad. I know that old man straight. Like you're saying, your dad can chop wood.
Ron, let me...
Experience counts for something.
Do you have... not to get too personal, do you have kids?
Yes, I do.
Okay, any of them college age?
No.
Okay, are close to college age or older?
No, all my kids, my oldest is 8.
Okay,
two are 3 and 4.
So we're on the same page. Okay, we're on the same page here. Just quite simply, you got 100 grand to bet one way or the other. Who are you betting it on? It's your kid's college education
probably
on the line.
Probably Lonzo Ball, but I want to see Jordan win.
Oh, me too. No, that's where we, let me be clear. I would be rooting for Michael Jordan. I would be what?
Nothing.
You tell me to hang up on him?
Yeah.
I hung up on him.
You're taking this way too seriously.
This is
so crazy to me is that you think it's a foregone conclusion.
Yes.
And anyone that doesn't agree with you, you're going to make it the most inane bullcrap conversation possible. And we're going to do this on the radio. You just cannot accept the fact that people that don't agree with you.
I have people that disagree with me all the time that are right. Just not in this case.
Oh, my God.
I don't think this should even be like a real conversation, like a real argument.
I agree with you.
But it should be like,
but you're having it.
Yeah. Because people are
can
goofy.
You always give me crap about not being able to admit when I'm wrong.
I'm not wrong. I'm not wrong that the number 2 pick in the draft could beat a 54-year-old man in one-on-one.
Presumptive.
Sorry, you're correct. Presumptive number 2. Presumptive number 2.
Can't admit that you're wrong, that you've spent too much time on this. You're making it a thing. It's not a thing.
I'm not wrong. There's no... I would bet... Okay, I'm not going to say I'd bet my life on it, but I'll tell you this much. I'd bet my arm, my right arm, my pitching arm. I would bet my arm
your pitching arm.
Yes. I would bet my right arm.
Because that's valuable.
You're going to need that pitching arm.
Damn right it is.
When you get drafted into Major League Baseball,
the Warriors,
pitch for the Giants.
Warriors dumb parade set for Thursday. Yay. They'll be parading around in Oakland. Start at 10 a.m. Broadway and 11th Street, wind through downtown, and with a procession to the Henry J. Kaiser Convention Center. Fans are encouraged to line up as soon as 5 a.m. with a smell of fresh jersey and tags flying everywhere off the hats with the stickers on them will be crazy. We'll get into this later at 7:30. I've got thoughts on that. But good for them. They'll have a parade. The super teams. I asked, hey, why or what defines a super team? A super team, according to the text line, is when a group of great players come together to play on one team when they haven't been able to succeed to the highest level with the team that originally drafted them.
So isn't that every team that LeBron James has played on?
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
all of the Miami
thing,
teams.
Yeah.
Like, but yet he says he hasn't played on a super team. Any team that LeBron plays for is immediately a super team. Can we agree on that?
Does his very presence make it a super team?
Yeah. I mean, you can maybe argue that the Cleveland teams in the beginning, but when he went to Miami, I don't care, just because they were a bad team the year before, they had Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, LeBron James. That is a super team. And who was it that came from Boston? Ray Allen.
Ray Allen.
Come on now. Get your mind right.
We'll talk about that next.
Or we'll do 3 for Madness next.
People are very mad at me for talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? Suck it.
Well, at least we're off Drake and
that's
Nicki
a good point
Minaj.
Right there. We'll continue that. We'll talk about Michael Jordan versus Lonzo Ball all day. We're going to cancel three for Madness questions are going to be breaking down their one-on-one matchup. Or we'll talk about the White House legacies and a little bit of Raiders as well. Hey, that's coming up next after this word from Katie Christensen about Hoblet Dodge. This is Sports 1140.
All right, three for madness. Number one, in the much-anticipated 1v1 matchup between Lonzo Ball and Michael Jordan, will LeVar Ball be a coach, cheerleader, or in the broadcast booth with Charles Barkley?
Yes, yes. He'll probably come down and push his kid out of the way. This is my battle, son.
Way to go, Matt George.
All right.
Way to go.
Boring old Warriors. Should the Warriors visit the White House?
This is a story from yesterday and the day before, late the night before, reporting that the Warriors had unanimously voted to not visit the White House. That was proved false, although Sam Amick did have a story talking to Andre Iguodala, who basically said, long and the short of it is, we'll do whatever our leader says, leader being Steph Curry. Steph Curry was quoted responding to Under Armour CEO Kevin Plank's comment saying, I think Trump is an asset. Curry said, yeah, if you take out the ET, I agree. In other words, he's an ass. That's the background we have. The question is, should the Warriors visit the White House? I think they should. I do. And I don't want to get into the politicalness, even though that's exactly what we're doing. I am a big believer of the office itself and what the office represents. So if you're asking me, do I think the Warriors should go and pay homage to Donald Trump? The answer is no, I do not. Do I think a championship team should go and be thanked by the president of the United States and be presented for all to see? It's a tradition. I respect the tradition, politics aside.
I don't think that it matters if they choose not to go. I know, I understand where you're coming from with the respect the office, and I get that. And I'm on board with that. However, I was also on the side of saying that what Colin Kaepernick did in the protest of kneeling during the national anthem that got everyone's panties in a wad, I was okay with that because it's a form of protest and what he was doing it for. To me, this is the same thing. If they don't want to visit the White House because of who is in office, if that is their form of protest, then they're absolutely 100% entitled to do that. I have no problem one way or the other.
Three for madness, number two.
Whose legacy is taking a bigger hit out of the finals, LeBron or Durant?
I think Kevin Durant, without a doubt. I think LeBron right now looks like, you know, the sunshine and rainbows version of it. Everyone feels bad for him because he's the greatest player in the world. And he had to go up against a team that everyone thinks cheated. And Kevin Durant is horrible for leaving Oklahoma City and selling out to win a title and blah-de-dee-blah-de-dee-blah. Like, I think that without a doubt, it's Kevin Durant. I don't agree with it, but I think the overall, you know, consensus here is that LeBron looks like the angel. Kevin Durant looks like the villain.
I agree with that. I do. I think.
Stop agreeing with
me. I think Durant.
It's not a good look on you.
We just disagreed. I think Durant is taking the bigger hit, and I get it. And we'll talk more about that later. I think part of it is LeBron averaged a triple double in the finals. LeBron played an amazing finals, and I think you look at it and go, there's nothing else he could have done. It's so interesting that one of the dominant storylines coming out of this finals, Katie, is that the best player of our generation and arguably one of the best players of all time is being viewed as a sympathetic figure, as an underdog, mm-hmm. as somebody you feel sorry for. That's certainly not everyone listening, so calm down. But a lot of people are feeling that.
I'm wondering, because you weren't here yesterday and we kind of talked about this. I know there's probably plenty of people, and I wonder which side you fall on. Should LeBron have won the MVP and not Kevin Durant of the finals?
No, I think LeBron James, year one of these finals, when Andre Iguodala won the MVP, I thought LeBron James should have won the MVP there. I do. But when you're Kevin Durant, you're averaging 35 points and shooting 50, 40, 90. LeBron James had the better statistical finals, but Kevin Durant wasn't far behind him, and his team won in five games. So I don't buy into that there. I think Kevin Durant was the MVP of the finals simply because his team won, and they wouldn't have won without him. I mean, they really wouldn't have, and we'll get into that more later. Number three.
With Derek Carr and Khalil Mack looking to build on last year.
Well, not Frank Mack? Okay.
Who is the third most important Raider?
Raider. I'll take the easy way out. I think it's Amari Cooper. I do.
Damn it.
Okay, you know what? I'll give you Amari Cooper because I was really split on this.
I could go back and forth.
Third most important Raider, I'll take the not easy way out, and I'll build a case. I think it's Marshawn Lynch. And I don't think it's Marshawn Lynch.
I was going to go one way or the other.
I don't think it's Lynch necessarily because I think there's no doubt it's Cooper statistically. I think Cooper's going to have an insane year. And I've already said, I say his rookie year. I think he's going to be a Hall of Famer. I think this kid is special upon special upon special. But I do think Marshawn Lynch, what he brings in terms of attitude, he's won a championship, and leadership, that quiet leadership he has. You know, Marshawn Lynch would have been an interesting example to bring up when we were talking about Jerry Ramey saying, it was Mike Schmidt saying the Latin kid couldn't be a leader because he didn't speak the language. No, don't get me wrong. Marshawn Lynch speaks the language. But Marshawn Lynch is not this crazy vocal guy.
Right.
He'll say what he says in spurts, but he speaks with actions. And there's no doubt Marshawn Lynch was the leader of that Seattle Seahawks team. Not Russell Wilson, not Richard Sherman. It was Marshawn Lynch. I think he could do the same thing for the Oakland Raiders.
You can make a case for both of them. And since you took Marshawn Lynch, I'll take Amari Cooper. I think every great quarterback and every great team that's going to be a Super Bowl contender needs that go-to receiver.
Yeah.
Amari Cooper definitely has the potential to do that. I don't think he's tapped his potential yet.
Not at all.
Not even close. The one thing he needs to do this year, if anything, is please do something with your hands. Make them work. Catch balls. Don't drop so many things. And I honestly think because of his ability, his skill set, it's more mental than it is anything else.
I think if they get on the same page and they work hard enough and most importantly avoid injury, I really do think Carter Cooper, it could very well go down with Manning. Harrison,
ooh,
not as good. I won't say, I'll say Montana Rice only in this. That's the greatest of all time. But I think they could go down as one of the best quarterback-to-receiver combos in NFL history. There's a long way to go there, but you just look at Amari Cooper. He is special in every single way. I think Derek Carr is the heir apparent to Aaron Rodgers. I really do. If that's what I'm comparing it to, I can't give higher praise to both of those. So, yeah, you're damn right. Matt, you're a Raider guy. Weigh in on this.
Is it cheating to say the entire Raider secondary?
Yes,
it is.
Yes, it is.
Darn it.
That is a...
The question read, who is the third most important Raider? Raider.
I disagree with Cooper and Marshawn Lynch just because the only thing offensively I'd like to see the Raiders do differently is actually take a lead early in the game and not be forced to battle back. But I put a lot of that on the defense as well because the defense was forced to hold in the fourth quarter while Raiders made their comeback. I couldn't name a single one, but it's got to be someone in the secondary. I don't want to pick the new rookie because that's a lot of pressure to put on the rookie. So
what about Carl Joseph?
Sure, let's go with Joseph.
Honestly, Carl Joseph could... Let's see, David Amerson.
Or Jack Del Rio, just for his defense.
Jeez.
Or the offensive line to keep Carr healthy. Or the team trainer to keep
Carr
healthy.
So basically what you're saying is you are the woman on the show today and can't make up your mind.
Mark Davis.
Mark Davis, everybody. We'll take a break. We got a long segment next. We'll deal with your phone calls. And when I say deal, I mean that in a good way, not in a bad way. The Lakers and their workouts, including a Kings favorite. A guy who could be a king was in town yesterday. We'll tell you a cool story about him. And does the Warriors situation give Kings fans hope? We'll tie that in as well as we're 8 days away from the draft. We'll continue in 3 minutes on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.
It's 7:35. Time to get your car washed at Seven Flags Sunrise Express Car Wash in Citrus Heights, where you get unlimited car washes for just $19.99 a month.
We'll get into the NBA draft with Scott Howard Cooper at the top of this hour. Put out a thing I saw on Twitter last night that was really cool. As we get closer to the draft, we are just 8 days away. We will be downtown at the draft party. We invite all of you to come down and enjoy one of the more exciting days to be a Sacramento Kings fan. Yes, when you're not in the playoffs, the draft is a very exciting day. When it's a deep draft and you have two top 10 picks, I should say, that's a big deal. Frank Mason is a point guard for the Kansas Jayhawks. He's thought to be perhaps maybe available in the second round when the Sacramento Kings pick.
Mm-hmm.
So I tweeted out a collection of tweets, called it a Frank Mason story in four parts. We start out with at Hathman, H-A-T-H-M-A-N, Jeremy Morioka, tweeting, what? Frank Mason coming to Sacramento for another workout? You work it. My little Jayhawk slash Frank Mason fan would love a chance to meet. She's talking about his son. Frank Mason responds, I'm in Sacramento right now. I'd love to meet him. And Jeremy responds to Frank saying, little man Cooper put his KU shirt on and did his best Frank dribble impression and said, I'm ready to go. Frank said, come on over to the Hyatt. And then the next thing you see, Katie, Frank Mason tweets out, my boy Cooper.
It's cute.
Taking a picture with the kid, to which his dad responds, thanks, Frank. Cooper was so nervous, he can't stop talking now and telling me what I have to nail the poster that you signed. Now, listen, does that seems like Frank Mason is a nice, classy young man. Does that mean he's going to lead the Kings to a title? No. But I would submit this. When you are in the second round, and that guy's on your board, and you're making a decision, and he's part of that decision. It's stuff like that. I think it's okay at that level in the second round to sway a little bit. That's the type of guy I'd like to see wearing a Kings uniform that I'd love to root for.
So I'm curious, just in the sense, I'm not saying, I'm not familiar enough with him as a player
sure.
to be like, oh, well, he's not, why would you say that? Like, it's not worth it. It doesn't, he's not going to be an NBA player. And a lot of second round picks don't make it.
Absolutely.
But for those people that want to say, well, Isaiah Thomas was the last pick in the draft.
Who he has been compared to a bit. Isaiah Thomas has been probably the most popular comparison with Frank Mason, who's 5'11".
As a fan, are you okay with a team taking a second round pick kind of mid to late just based on, oh, he's a good guy?
Not that's a good question. That's what I was trying to get across. Not just because he's a good guy, but I do think that I think the lower you get in mm-hmm. the draft, I think the more that character should matter. Now, if you're looking at a guy high up in the draft, and that's where it becomes very interesting with a guy like Lonzo Ball, or because of the LeVar thing,
mm-hmm.
or a guy like Josh Jackson, who had some pretty serious off-court issues
right.
involving violence at Kansas. I hate to say this, you know, it sounds so bad, but in the world of the business of NBA basketball, I think you're more likely to say, well, yeah, we can adjust that when he gets to the NBA. You're going to excuse it more in the top 10, talent-wise, than you would in the second round. I think if Josh Jackson were a second-round type player, he might fall out of the second round because of something like that.
Mm-hmm.
If Lonzo Ball was a second-round type of player, I think it would cost him more spots, if that makes sense.
Right.
In this case,
you're okay with it.
In this case, I am okay with it. I am okay with it, and that's the type of guy I'd root for. That's the type of guy I'd love to see. With the Warriors winning the championship two nights ago and me being off, gone yesterday.
You were off, for sure.
I was off. It did give me a chance, Katie, to kind of calm down, let the emotion out, and reflect. Why do I have such a problem with Kevin Durant? Why am I so damned emotional about this Warriors championship? Why am I fighting with all these people on Twitter? Why am I quote tweeting old Kevin Durant tweets from 6 years ago saying, why is everybody joining these super teams? Let's just go at them, you know? And I think what I came to the conclusion of is this, because I know you and I are kind of on opposite sides here. I don't think we're too far off. I'm a Kings fan, and I see most everything through a Kings fan's glasses.
They're purple.
They're very purple. I have such a tremendous amount of respect for the Warrior organization and everything that they've done. And whereas I'm jealous that a team 90 miles down the road is so good, I'm jealous. But I can acknowledge...
You would be jealous if Cleveland won this year.
I would be, but I'd be more jealous. Trust me, just because we're dealing with more Warrior fans. Yeah, I got to go to the Kings games and see half of it be blue and yellow and hear these guys on Twitter and on
I understand,
you know,
what you're saying, but just to that point, that's the same in every NBA city. You go to any game where the Warriors are playing... whatever home team it is. And that's the case there. It's not just Sacramento. It's not just because it's 90 miles down the road.
Not to the level of Sacramento.
Okay.
You're not going to see that many Warrior fans in Miami.
Okay.
As you are. I mean, do you disagree? You're not going to see the amount of Warrior fans in Miami, New York, Dallas.
I think there is a disproportionate amount of Warriors fan in every
I agree with you.
NBA arena.
But not as much as in Sacramento.
Okay.
In fact, I would say there are more Warrior fans that attend Sacramento Kings games than any other NBA home court in the entire country because of proximity. Because a lot of Warrior games are either sold out or priced out. You can get in easier here, and it's a 90-mile drive. I get
yeah,
it. I don't fault those fans. Go for it. We went down. We used to call it Arco West. We called Oracle Arco West back in the early 2000s. I respect the hell out of what they've done. We played the clip of Chris Mullin's retirement ceremony about a week ago, where Joe Lacob was getting booed off the court because he just traded Monte Ellis. And Rick Barry and Chris Mullin had to come out and try to defend the poor bastard. And they did.
Rick Barry got aggressive.
Sure. He is. That's who he is. I respect the hell out of him. I really do. I think the big problem I had, and I think a lot of people have, is that when it comes to Kevin Durant, and I said this earlier in the show, I loved Kevin Durant in Texas. I loved Kevin Durant. It was Durant or Odin, Durant or Odin. And I was a Durant number one guy. That is special. I loved him in Oklahoma City. If you asked me who my favorite non-Kings player was, it would have been Kevin Durant. I love what he had with Russell Westbrook, and I marveled at the fact that Oklahoma City at one point had Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Serge Ibaka. A team, you want to talk about a super team, that's damn close if they were all still there. They were up 3-1 on the Warriors. They were up 3-1, the Thunder were on the Warriors. And then Durant left. And I've heard people compare Durant leaving to when LeBron left for Miami. And I understand the comparison, but I think it's a pretty weak comparison. I think it's a weak comparison because the year before LeBron James got to Miami, the Miami Heat lost in the first round of the playoffs.
They were a 40-some-odd win team.
Exactly. The Golden State Warriors lost in seven to one of the biggest comebacks ever, led by the best player of our generation, and they won 73 games. That's the problem I have. My problem is
so
that
you're saying that LeBron James Miami teams don't qualify in your mind as a super team.
See, I think that's also kind of a weak argument. That's why I was asking earlier, what is exactly a super team? I don't think it's defined. I think everybody has kind of their own definition. Chris Bosh and LeBron James joining Dwayne Wade and a team that lost in the first round.
Are you purposely leaving out Ray Allen?
Maybe Ray
one
Allen
of the best
then joining
shooters in NBA history.
I think Ray Allen joining that team. I think that would qualify as a super team. I think the Warriors are a super team on their own pedestal.
You think the Warriors redefined super team?
Yeah, redefined and extended the idea of super team. I think they are the superiest team of all time because I think the Warriors. And again, it's another compliment here. I will say this: I think the Warriors are the greatest team ever assembled. I think they are the best assembled team ever. And people will say 72 and 10 Bulls. And I would say, well, the Warriors won 73, and then the following year they won the championship after they added a top three, if not top two player in the world to a 73-win team. I give all the credit in the world to Steph Curry and the rest of that team for bringing in a monster like Kevin Durant and finding a way to fit him in, to make it work. To defer, you have the two-time reigning MVP making $11 million a year who stepped back and said, you know what? Winning is more important to me than individual accolades. I'm going to defer. And we've seen a lot of people say, well, Steph Curry's fallen off. Steph Curry is not who. No, he hasn't fallen off. If anything, he's gotten better. And he's been able to put his ego in check.
He just doesn't have to do as much.
Klay Thompson has become almost a role player on that team. A defensive role player is really what he was in the finals. You want to talk about deferring? That's amazing. I give them all the credit in the world. I think what bothers me the most is that I think the Warriors could have won the NBA championship again without Kevin Durant. And if they didn't win, those wars would be amazing.
You know what's so crazy about that argument, Dave? You talk about Klay Thompson becoming more of a role player, right? Everyone assumes that with Kevin Durant there, his scoring went down, right?
Klay Thompson's?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm referring mostly to the playoffs, by the way.
Okay.
I'm saying in the playoffs, Klay Thompson, I think, contributed. If you were to say, list Klay Thompson's accomplishments and contributions in the playoffs, number one for me would be his defense. And you and I have talked about this before. Klay Thompson's always been a pretty damn good defender. It's just been on display more this year.
Well, just because I want to get this out, because I think a lot of people do assume that overall on the season, Klay Thompson's role was dramatically reduced.
Sure.
And that he didn't produce the way that he did. Well, when they won the title in 2014-15, Klay was averaging 21.7 points a game. Last year when they lost, 22.1 points a game. This season, with Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, and Draymond Green, 22.3 points a game.
It's right there.
His production is technically, he had the best scoring year of his career, even though it only beats his 2014-15 by 2/10 of a point.
Still does, though.
Still
does.
But a lot of people assuming that there was a major drop-off, there wasn't.
Matt George.
Are the Warriors the first team in NBA history to have four superstars in their prime?
Do we count Draymond Green as a superstar?
He's an NBA All-Star, Defensive Player of the Year.
Does that make you a superstar? I'm asking.
He's the leader of that team.
I wouldn't say that he's a superstar.
I feel like Durant and Steph Curry are superstars, and we're semanticing.
Okay, then change the wording. All-star, is it that big of a difference? Four All-Stars in their prime.
Yes.
Has there ever been a team like that?
Yes, that is different. No,
the Heat did not have four All-Stars in their prime.
Because that's what I think the difference is. I think the Heat were a super team. I think this Warrior team is like a mega super team.
All right, Magic Johnson, James Worthy, Kareem. You could argue that was Kareem's prime, even though he was in his mid to late 30s. And then who? Michael Cooper. The Celtics had Parrish, McHale, Bird, DJ, Dennis Johnson. I don't
think anyone has had four All-Stars
in their
prime.
See, that's where I think the difference is. They had four. And we've seen big threes all over the place, but four is absurd.
And you can even add in, by the way, Andre Iguodala, who is not...
But he's the equivalent of what Ray Allen was to the Heat, right?
Yeah. In a different way, but yes.
When you really look at it, you look at the Warriors' starting lineup, there's really only one quote-unquote hole, and that's at center. Zaza Pachulia arguably is the hole. Well, not arguably, he is the hole in that starting lineup.
But he does his job.
Well, that's all you need on that team.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. So just to wrap that, I want to get to these calls. I think that's why I was so upset. I wanted to see Kevin Durant either, A, do it with Oklahoma City, because I felt like they could. And if the argument is he didn't want to play with Russell Westbrook, they couldn't get along, he needed to get out of there at some point, then grab another team.
Mm-hmm.
Not. I didn't want to see Kevin Durant's legacy question because he joined a 73-win team. Either they were going to lose and it was his fault, or they were going to win and oh well.
And so this is a question I posed yesterday. Is this storyline going to prevail about the Warriors, about Kevin Durant specifically and his legacy? I mean, it's fresh right now. It is a gaping, bloody wound right now for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But is it going to prevail and be that way 5, 10, 20 years
from
now?
It's a good question. It's really a good question. I don't know. I think a lot of that depends on what's going to happen.
A lot of it has to do with what happens with LeBron.
Yeah.
Because there is a way that he could become a bigger villain at this point.
339-1140. Let's get to your phone calls. Peter, you're on the drive.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I just want to chime in here. Dave, I cannot agree with you more. And I'll tell you why. To me, it's almost like, when they first won the 2015 championship, you know, it was an organic team that, you know, they built up through the draft. They made a couple good moves, and they were, you know, the funnest team to watch when they won that championship. And, you know, last year, honestly, I think Cleveland had a better narrative just because LeBron had come back to Cleveland mm-hmm. and they had not won a championship in that city for so long. So I kind of, you know, I kind of fell off the Warrior bandwagon. And then when they picked up, you know, Kevin Durant, it went from an organic team to an artificial team, if you will. And I just can't latch onto that because they, like the other guy said, they're not a super team. They're a mega super team. and it took away the organic feeling of that team, to where he felt good for the guys, and they rose up and they became champions. And now they're just plug and play, and it's almost like getting excited. Maybe they should add LeBron next year just to make sure they win like 10 more championships, and that'll be fun to root for. You know,
I agree.
Oh, I wanted to ask Peter a question.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize.
That's all right.
What was your question? I'll answer it for him.
You can't.
No?
No.
I can play Peter.
My question was yesterday, because we were talking about this, and yesterday someone said that he knows several Warriors fans that were upset about the signing of Durant because it took away from their organic build.
Sure.
And I had never heard somebody use the word organic in terms of what the Warriors had done. And then we had Peter give it right there. I was curious if he was the one that had texted that. But
he wasn't. I don't know.
I mean, you have a 50-50 chance of being
right.
I'm going
to go with he wasn't.
Yeah.
I think it's an apropos word, organic. I think it'd be a hell of a lot easier to root for this Warrior team without Kevin Durant.
What is not organic about the fact that you drafted well and you set yourself up for free agency in one of the biggest free agency summers to be able to land and afford?
You have not ever heard me rip the organization.
No, but answer the question. I'm not saying you're ripping the organization. I'm asking you, what is not organic about a team that drafted well, found the diamonds in the rough in the draft, built and developed them together as a team? And then, Dave, we all know that there are those free agents, there are those guys in the league right now, and always have been, that every organization in the league has that summer, that July of whatever it is, 2016 or 2020, circled on their calendar because there's top targets that are superstar quality players that are going to be available. And every team wants to be able to be in a position where they can make a run at them. What is not organic about the Warriors in 5 years doing what they've done and doing it the old fashioned way? They didn't do it through, you know, bringing in three free agents and throwing a ton of money at them. One free agent that pissed everybody off.
Yeah, he's top three player in the league. I mean, and
but what's not organic about that?
They
put themselves in a position to do that.
Sure, and you know what the Warriors are? The Warriors are the guy that you're playing with in your fantasy football league when you have your boss in the fantasy football league and he pays some other dude in the league $50 to make a trade. Well, I guess technically it's legal. The boss has money. He put himself in a position to have more money than you and to be able to buy players. But yeah, you just paid him $50 to get Andrew Luck for Connor Cook. Well done.
Did we go to fantasy, really?
Yeah. World is fantasy. Hey, Matt.
Hey, the Pistons had in the mid 2000s had four All Star starters and almost had five.
What was that? Billups, Ben Wallace,
Steve and Tayshaun.
Yeah, and also, you know, we talked about Allen Rondo, Paul Pierce, and Kevin Garnett. I don't think the Warriors are like that's what we're saying. The Warriors are like the superiest of the super teams, but there's some precedent there. One more call before we go to break. Ed, you're on the drive.
Hey, what's up, Dave? Longtime listener.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you for saving the Kings, man.
My pleasure.
I just want to say, like, this is different. Unlike the '90s, where you kind of felt like Jordan and those teams, they could lose. Now you feel like the Warriors, they can't lose, and what's the point of watching? And now you see all these other NBA teams, you know they're not trying to win, so. Why am I trying to watch?
I mean, I don't know if they're not trying to win. Ed, I see your point. I do think they're trying to win.
I think there's legitimately four teams right now that are trying to win.
I think that I heard Gio and Jones this morning saying, hey, the NBA Finals ratings are through the roof. Best ratings since Michael Jordan's Bulls. So obviously people are watching.
People like to watch dominance,
even if it's
lopsided.
What I want to see to kind of complete the statement, let's look at the regular season ratings next season. That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
You tell me the regular season ratings are at or better than they have been over the last 5 years, you'll catch my attention. Because really, nobody gave a crap until the NBA Finals. Because we all had the Cavs and the Warriors in the Finals. Shouldn't be like that. We'll take a break. Scott Howard Cooper will talk NBA draft with us next. We'll have a couple other Scud questions for him, I'm sure.
Scud.
Stay tuned. It's The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.